Final hour, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. Gentry, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Joe, I would love to see a stat on how many of your rants are on something Jared said. Because
you're trying to come on here and feed his ego? Are you kidding me?
It works the other way too, though. I was pulling up a podcast episode of his last week, and it was titled "I'm Mad at Joe Rexrode." Yeah.
They really are meant for each other. Like, you know, he talks about
it. Is adorable, isn't it, Robbie?
He talks about Stilly and Pauly all the time, but I really think that those two are kind of destined for each other.
Well, if I produce their show, I can also still yell at both of them. See what I mean? Like, it actually could
To see you produce the show.
It'd be a well-produced show. What a production we'd have. No, but seriously, okay, before we get into this, I mean, it's like that are devoted to him, Robbie. It's like, what, 2%?
Oh, no.
Come on.
2%?
Yes.
Gentry, I think he's off by about 25 to 30%.
Yeah, dude. I mean, maybe not always directly. You know, it could be some interview he had, but something that happened with the Stillman program.
2%.
Okay, I'll give you 6%.
Okay. All right. So, Gentry, it looks like the Titans are going to draft Cam Ward at number one, just reading the tea leaves more than a month out from the draft here. So, number one, I guess, do you agree with that? Number two, what do you make of the way that free agency has shaped up to this point for the Titans?
I don't really have a problem with how it's gone. I feel like it hasn't been spectacular. This is a lot of the moves, I think, are the kind of moves you would see. I mean, we throw around the word rebuild pretty easily, and I don't think you can usually rebuild in the NFL. I mean, you're trying to win each year. It's just there seems to be some I'm not going to say caution, but They're making moves that I feel like are probably a little more patient, a little more reserved than some of the big swings they were taking last year. And it's probably time for that. Now, in terms of the quarterback situation, I think that's what we were all watching for. And if it is Cam Ward, I don't have a problem with that. The only issue, I think, is if you would like to think that they truly are looking at this and saying, that's our guy. We want that guy. As opposed to just saying, we got to have a quarterback and he's the best one out there. And I think that's what you don't really know yet. They're kind of evaluating this, but the more that I've looked at Cam Ward and, you know, kind of watched what he did last year and, you know, asked people about him, I don't think it's a terrible move. It's probably the right thing to do unless you just get a complete haul for trading that pick.
So have you, Gentry, I guess, where were you on, like, Cam Ward, say, you know, like, when this was just starting out? And have you, I guess, I don't know, come around, or do you have any different thoughts on him? It seems like there's definitely been some, I guess, awakening to him. And I know with the Titans, that probably has to do a lot with their actual interviews. But how has your evolution of thought on Cam Ward gone?
Yeah, you know, it comes from I spoke to Eric Morris, who was his coach at Incarnate Word and also at Washington State. He was his OC. He's now the coach at North Texas, but I talked to him. What I like about Cam Ward is there's a confidence aspect here that has allowed him to really make something of a career in which no one saw him coming. No one really thought he was going to amount to what he has as a quarterback, and I think a lot of that has to do with a self-belief in the face of a lot of doubts over the course of his career. And, you know, the coach said that he showed up at Incarnate Word the very first day. They had brought back like an All-American at quarterback. And he shows up the first day of spring ball, goes in the coach's office, says, I'm going to start for you. You know, and he had just got there. And he's coming in saying things like that. And you know, I asked the coach, I goes, well, did he start for you? He goes, yeah, he started for us. And it's – there's a lot of stories like that about Cam Ward. And when you talk to him at the combine, you kind of get that impression of a guy who truly does not feel like he's arrived. You know what I mean? Like a guy who has the chip on his shoulder, and has been doubted an awful lot in his career. It isn't a guarantee of success, but I've learned over, you tend to side with that guy because he's not going to be satisfied. And, he's been able to improve a lot over the course of his career. So I feel like there's a lot of upside still there, if that makes sense.
Gentry, knowing that it can't get a whole lot worse than what it's been the last couple of years around here on the offensive line, how much better do you think the offensive line is based on what they've done in free agency to this point?
Yeah, I don't know if it's the magic bullet to get Dan Moore at left tackle, but I feel like you're better than you were. I like the Zeitner ad. Honestly, that to me was one of the better signings they've made in a while, and I feel like it can't be worse, right? I mean, at some point they're going to have to put a line out there that is able to allow the offense to function better than it has the last couple of years. I mean, we obviously Will Levis wasn't what you wanted, but there were a lot of games in which the line and the protection could have been better, and that goes back a few years now. I think if you were really to look at why the Titans have crumbled the way they have, number one on that list, well, it's drafting, but on the field, it's the offensive line. And they came in and Mike Borgonzi said that was going to be a priority for us, and it was. They backed that up.
So moving to college hoop, Gentry, and before we get into it, do you have a column coming on Greg Sankey taking him to task for threatening to leave, break, and form his own tournament, and how the SEC is just propped up by fear of Greg Sankey leaving? I mean, I think that that's a pretty important topic to address.
Well, maybe so.
Well, I'll tell you this. The SEC needs to have a good NCAA tournament.
Oh, we all agree with that.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a
lot of hype out there. And I saw a headline this morning about how the SEC became the kings of college basketball. They're not the kings of college basketball yet.
That's right.
UConn was the kings of college basketball. The SEC has not won a national championship since 2012. They haven't even played for it since 2014. Joe, you were there at Bridgestone. I went around and asked that question of a lot of people just to see who knew the last time the SEC had actually played on Monday night. And not a lot of people did. It's been a minute for the SEC. They've only had three Final Four teams here in the last 10 years. So I know this season was obviously a big moment for the SEC. It was clearly the best they've ever had. But they need to go get this done in the NCAA tournament. And they need to have a team that has – they've got all these teams that everybody thinks can go win it all, so can one of them actually go do it?
No. Yeah, no, totally agree. You know, the performance this year was what it was. It was real, but you have to back it up. Now, granted, the Big Ten's been 25 years since a natty. But still, the SEC, this is a huge moment for them. So are you going with Vanderbilt?
I will be with Vanderbilt. Yeah, I'm going to Cleveland.
What's just Vanderbilt and Tennessee right now, your prognosis for both of them? How far do you think each of them will go?
Oh, I have Vanderbilt out in the second round. Kind of a toss-up, I think, there on that first game. I don't really know what to make of St. Mary's, but I don't feel like they're going to get past Alabama in the second round. It's a pretty tough draw there, having to get a team that that you've already played and beat you pretty bad once already in that second game. As far as Tennessee, I think that one's a little tougher to gauge. I think they'll get past the first weekend, but I don't really like what it looks like for them at the regional. I think you're either going to get Kentucky or Illinois in that Sweet 16 game, and I don't think either of those are a good matchup for Tennessee. They've already played Illinois. That was a really tough game. I feel like Jordan Danny had a lot to do with why Tennessee was able to win that game at Illinois, but they were fortunate to win it. And you got a Kentucky team that just seems to have Tennessee's number. So I want to see what happens in that regional. I don't have Tennessee going to the Final Four because of that.
Well, it's going to be fun, Gentry. Looking forward to getting things rolling on Thursday in the NCAA tournament with Tennessee and then Friday with Vanderbilt. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you bet. Take care, guys.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessee and our guest on Robbie and Rexwell. We'll react to what Gentry had to say there. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rexwell, 1025-1063, the game.